There's so much to say when we begin to discuss the name of Jesus. There's so much to say. I would need like a month. And in that month, I'll need 2 days a week. If I were to properly exhaust the teaching on his name. But maybe let us begin from the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Okay, I'm going to get a bit technical for today. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, the Bible reads, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death." So sometimes when you are trying in your strength and you feel the anointing suddenly come, it feels nice. Right? I'm sure you can relate. "And being found in appearance as a..." Okay, let's go. "He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth." There's a whole world under the earth. "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Praise the Lord. Right. When I was in first year of university, I was taking 4 courses. The school where I came from, you had to make points to study what you wanted to study. These days, I don't think it's like that. Like even for you guys, normally what would happen if you want to study a course? You are thrown generally into sciences, right? Yeah, for those that are here. And then you battle it out. Then those who make the points are the ones who get to study what they wanted to study. And if you don't make the points, they make you study what they want you to study. According to their academic stratification, they give you what they feel is befitting. So there are a lot of times when people, maybe they came to study medicine, but because maybe they did not make the points, they end up studying biochemic or something, or wildlife management something. Yeah, like Pastor Flavian, he came to study medicine, but because he didn't make the points, he studied wildlife something. Shelley, what did he study again? Economic, I don't know, something. Wild management. So I remember in my class, we were like maybe say 1,000 of us, and out of that 1,000, maybe 400 wanted to study law, right? But they didn't tell us that only 50 would make it. So they wanted a class of 50. 50 are the ones who to qualify, 60 actually, 50 are the ones who qualify like normally, then 60 depending on who you know. So the 10 would qualify depending on who knows them. Then for you who comes from Kwamukwikile, the academics have to know you and you have to know them and you have to prove yourself, right? So out of about 400, 500, 50 made it. And I was one of them. Now, it was a very difficult period. And if it was me, I think in our day the points were like 10.5 qualifying. There was a girl who got like, it was out of 20, she got like 18 out of 20. Yeah, we had a girl like that in our class who no matter what you do, she'll beat you. Her name wasn't even Beatrice. Oh, no matter what you do, she'll beat you. At some point, we just stopped caring. So we never asked for the highest. Sometimes we asked for who the second highest is. And I'm talking from first year to fourth year. So could it be that, no, I've been transformed. May that be you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So she got like 18 or something. I could be wrong. And then the next one's got like 14. Then Kwenze Naisa, Naisa, Lama 10.5 exactly. We used to call it Paka Pompero. So we went there, but it was hard to make it, but it was harder to stay there. I'm sure those who are here, you can relate. Like, it's hard to make it, but it's harder to stay there. Because you have to constantly, it's a toxic relationship. You have to constantly prove yourself. Constantly prove yourself. But this is true for all academics, just that I'm sharing my experience. You have to maintain. I remember one time we had a lecturer, I won't say her name, but we were doing dissertations, and she walks into class. We did proposals. So she walks into class, and all the papers have been marred with red ink and crosses. And she stands in front. And you know this, she has very strong language. So she has these theatrics. So she stands looking very disturbed. I can't believe that level of, I was so disturbed. In fact, I learned a new word. I was perturbed. It's so disturbing to look at your papers. And if you don't change the way you do things, we are going to keep you here. We love having you around. We went to check our papers. Kwenzema zero. Kwenzema choose another topic. What? I am thinking, I had a very good proposal. She just rejected the whole thing. And then I had to work hard and find another one. Luckily, they changed our supervisor, who accepted whatever I brought to the table. Oof. And then we had, tell your neighbor, he's going somewhere.
He's going somewhere.
And then we had, Hila, you should know who I'm talking about. And then we had, we had this lecturer, very nice. He used to take us in a course called company law, right? But he's the kind of person who would like bring a paper, and then he would bring like exactly last year's paper. But like on 500,000, he would just remove like 10. So if you go through the papers a lot, you calculate and you're still like, oh, praise God, this is what we were studying yesterday. Then you find there's just one, your friend tells you, you remember what we're studying here? Say, why is it? No, but you, I'm not just for zero. Yeah, there's a Kwempa spirit. So I remember when we were graduating, long story short, I remember when we were graduating, I think in my class, maybe like out a class of like 80, maybe like we had like 5 or 4 people with credits. One with merit, 5 with credit. The rest of us, they were just calling us. If you don't know what that means, it's good for you. They are just calling us. And now there was someone from Zikas who got a distinction. Now the way they do Zikas is that they make them part of UNSA. So they write Zikas exams, then they are graduated as UNSA. So this girl got a distinction, and we never knew her in class. Then they called her name, and we all looked. We were offended. As they are just calling us, you have a person I am busy. Naina. Okay, let me stick to Bemba. So when we thought we were done, then we've gone out Ziyari. So now, the way it is there, okay, it's not hard, it's bulky. That's my discovery. Because you have like 11 courses. And in our time, we wrote 11 courses in a week. Every day. So, except for weekends. I don't know how it was, Hillary, in your days. Did you write them in 2 weeks max? Your papers? 11 days. So like one paper every day. One paper every day. Yeah. That's how it is. Not these things they do in other places where now after you write, after 2 days, you write another paper after a week, they give you like breathing space, which I commend because I think it's psychologically not viable to treat people like books. So we went there. It's bulky. It's extremely bulky. I don't think it's hard. I think it's bulky. And then you have to work in the morning. It's a requirement. You have to work in the morning. And after you work in the morning, you have to go to class in the afternoon. Now, in some workplaces, they treat you like a qualified professional. So you have to draft the documents. You have to do this. Then you also have to study at the same time. And you also have a girlfriend and things like that. You also have church. And church, by then, is just starting. Right? So when we wrote the first time, I failed. I think I cleared some kind of 6 courses or something out of 11. Then I cleared the rest and I still remained with one. Like, it took me 3 years. And whew, I was done. Praise God. Those are kinds of experiences that if someone told me, would you go back? You know, I've seen people write speeches to their mother or their wives. And they say, if I had another opportunity to choose again, I'll choose you. And I know they're lying. It's just one of those things people say. So if I was asked if I would... No, I wouldn't go there. Let's not even finish the sentence. I've finished. That's it. Right? I've finished. That's it. How many ever finished a course and they wouldn't mind going back because they enjoyed it? Imagine that kind of experience. Yeah, and that person is toxic. They just don't know it. To themselves, toxic to themselves. Why would you want to go back? Sometimes this is why some people behave a certain way, because they feel like they've labored so hard in school. But now, this is what happened to Jesus as well. He had a very rough experience that no man had ever had. Because every man who ever tried to do what Jesus did just failed and died. For example, the Bible calls him the firstborn from the dead. Now, that does not mean he was the first man to like die and wake up. Because Lazarus also died and woke up. And Jesus woke him up. There was a boy from the Shunammite woman who Elisha took from the dead after he died. Right? So if the Bible means Jesus was the firstborn from the dead, meaning that he was the first person to like wake up after dying, then it would not be saying the truth. But what the Bible means when it says Jesus was the firstborn from the dead was he was the first one to overcome spiritual death. No one ever overcame spiritual death, not Abraham, not Isaac, not Jacob. Like to die, overcome death. Like most of the people who were resurrected, someone had to help them. But this is someone who laid his life down and picked it up himself. No one ever did that. No one has. You see, it was new. It was very new. And when he went down to deal with death, the Bible shows us that he went into hell and he defeated the one who had power over death and power over fear, which is the devil. He paralyzed him. He deprived him of power to truly cause harm to those who believe in Jesus. And in Revelation 3, he says, I was dead, now I'm alive, and I have power over two things. It talks about he has power over death and hell. So hell is not even in the power of the devil. Yeah, this is why we are able to, someone can die and be going to hell, but in the name of Jesus, we can pull them out of it. Because the one who has power over death and hell is the man Jesus. Hallelujah. So what we are reading in Philippians 2 is a man who had an experience. The Bible says he was in the form of God, and he was possessed of the fullness of the attributes which make God God. But then he decided to not keep it. Instead, he began to relegate himself. He began to strip himself off of all the rightful dignities that he had. In other words, he took out the fact that he could be found everywhere at the same time. Imagine it's a coat, he takes it out. Have you ever watched movies where, like, there are things that you wear that allow you to appear and disappear? Like, maybe it's like a time machine which you get in. You know? So now, think of it like Jesus had all these tumantepes that made him God. But he took them, he took all of them out. And the only thing that remained was the idea that he could become not just a human being. The Bible says reduced himself to the guise of sinful flesh. Now, there's a difference because maybe the unfallen man could be able to do some very divine things. But Jesus became like, he didn't become, but he became like the fallen man. That's how come as a baby he was weak. His parents had to run to Egypt to protect him. Even the angels were shocked when they saw him the first time. Because the Bible says, when, you see, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Let's go there. First Timothy. What's Timothy in your language? The Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, and without argument, great is the mystery of godliness. Then he begins to try to explain it. He says, number one, that God was manifested in the flesh. And John has the same testimony when he says, in John chapter 1 verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he says, he was in the beginning with God, and was God. And all things were made through him. And without his existence, nothing made would have been made. That makes him God. Because if God didn't have him, then he wouldn't have been able to make what he made. So God is not God without Jesus, because Jesus is God and God is Jesus. Yet Jesus and the Father are not the same people. It's a mystery of godliness. But that this God was manifested in the flesh, and he says it in verse 14 of John 1. He says, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. God was manifested in the flesh. And God was justified in the Spirit. Do you know what it means to justify God? How does God get justified if he is justice itself? But the Bible says, he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. In that moment, he needed to be re-justified. The Lord said to my Lord, you are my son. Today have I begotten thee. Today I have become your father. Who was he to him before then? Something changed on the cross. The Bible says there was darkness that came. The sun refused to shine. Why? Because the person of God turned his back from Jesus because of the sin, and God won't look at sin. And for the first time in the history of the life of Jesus, he said, my God, my God. He never addressed God as God. He addressed him as Father. But this time, he said, my God, you have forsaken me. It was shocking for him. Because this is a man who always used to say, my Father, my Father, my Father, and I are one. But for the first time, the Father turned his face. And even the whole world was in darkness. And in that moment, earth opened itself up and hell received him, because it was befitting of going there. But in that moment, all the wrath that God had against mankind and against the sin of Adam was poured out on Jesus as the perfect sacrifice capable of receiving the wrath of God. The wrath of God was satisfied. And the mercy of God was receiving man back into fellowship. That's what the Bible says. And God was in Christ, reconciling all men to himself, not counting men's sins against them, in Christ. So what was happening there is, because there was a mediator called Christ, God would now begin to reconcile. You don't reconcile what never existed together before, meaning there was a relationship prior. But only in the person of Christ was there reconciliation. And after that reconciliation, and it was found that that sin was not committed, but was laid on him for purposes of redeeming mankind, he was found guiltless, and he was justified in the Spirit. Great is a mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh. Listen to this. They are saying it's a mystery. How? They are saying it's a wonder. Here's the next wonder. That God was justified in the Spirit. It's a wonder. Here's the next wonder. That he was seen by angels. They're trying to say what? Angels never used to see him. It's a wonder. Look. The first time some angels got to see Jesus or God was the first time that mankind, people and angels both had the privilege of meeting God at the same time. That's why the angels looked and they said, joy to the world, peace on earth. Because it was the first time they were beholding God. So he reduced himself to a place where he could be seen. Not just by man. You would think that's reduction. But he reduced himself where angels could see him. That's the God who lives in your heart. You know, even when you just study Isaiah 6, you begin to notice something interesting. That when Isaiah began to see God in the year that Uzziah died, he says, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe, it filled the temple, and there was smoke in the temple. And then he said, and he began to see seraphims, a kind of angels with six wings. But he says, with two they covered their faces. Why were they covering their face? Because they can't look at God. Now, those are beings that are found in God's presence, but they still can't look at him. Meaning some of them, the first time they saw God without covering their faces was when he was a baby. Later on in the book of Luke. So they were shocked when they were saying to the shepherds, huh? You. Mary, are you sure you just holding him like this?
Wow.
Can we hold him some? That's God. I'm holding God today. He says it's a mystery. You don't know humility. You don't know humility. That's why God resists the proud, because he knows the level of humility himself went through. And the Bible says God, you see, he gives grace. The anointing was made from a very lowly place, and only those who go there acquire it. And the Bible says, he reduced himself to the guise of sinful flesh. Now, he did not just end there. It says he went further to the death on the cross, meaning the worst kind of death that could be died in that day. Imagine like, Kawata they kill when they catch a thief. You people, where you come from? I was reading a story recently. Where I think some people had iron bars and they grabbed the phone from someone. I don't know if you heard it. Then when the person gave them the phone, he chased and he was shot in Kawala. One ran away, the other one, they killed him. They killed him. And that's how Kasama is as well. If you steal in Kasama, they catch you, they will beat you to death. And I saw people, some people would even be disappointed if they find the person is dead. So just, they'll beat. Muchitumbi wauma mupum. So there, you don't steal. Now imagine you didn't steal, then they beat you like that, they didn't kill you. That's the worst kind of death that Jesus died. Like a person was stolen. And if you read that story from Kalemba, dark humor. I don't know why they write like that. Imagine they are writing all kinds of useless blogs about how he died. Residents of Kawata facilitate a man's quick entry into his union with ancestors. That's that kind of writing. Very, very dark. Dark humor. And imagine they are writing all this kind of stuff about him. The death of a criminal is, he just didn't die at our Fide Katipabafwa. He was a good man. No. And after he died, as if it was not enough, he went to hell. You know, there are certain things that even if you are going to overcome, they are not good to go through. Someone said, whatever does not kill makes you strong. Then someone also replied that, I don't want things that don't kill me but make me strong. Imagine going through things just so that you can overcome. You know, there are things that don't excite me, but in ministry, I don't like deliverance sessions. Because, you see, here you are interacting with an evil spirit. Because you have to. And it's talking to you. You don't know sometimes if it's lying. Or it just abuses you. Who do you think you are? What? You are offended, you are scared. You don't know. Even if you know that the thing is going to come out, it's just not nice. You are angry, you don't want to be angry. It was not an exciting experience for Jesus. But he had to do it. And the Bible says, therefore, God has highly exalted him. And he has given him a name. The Bible says, therefore. It means that If you find therefore, you have to find why it is therefore. And what they explained to you explains why the therefore is there. He just didn't wake up by grace and gave him the name. No, he labored for this one. This one was not by grace. Because you see, grace comes. There's a dimension of grace which only comes after humility. And humility is a work. Don't let anyone deceive you as they've got the gift of humility. Anyone who is humble worked for it. Proud people are lazy when it comes to working on their character. It says, therefore, God has given him a name that is above every name. Now, the reason I'm sharing this with you is because I want you to understand why Jesus spoke the way he would speak when he's talking to his disciples. Look at John. Chapter 16. Verse 37. The Bible reads, in that day, you ask me nothing. Which day is this? Is he talking about? There's a day when he's not going to be around. Because these guys used to ask Jesus for everything. Even about bands, he would provide. We want power to heal the sick, he would provide. But then he says, I'm not going to be here, so you will not be able to ask me for anything. In fact, I'm sure someone asked. Then he said, a day is coming when I will not be here. But anyways, then he begins to tell them how they are going to survive. In that day you ask me nothing, most assuredly I said to you. He says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Why? Because this name would have proved itself. This name would have earned the right. This name would have worked for the honor of reaching a place where whatever it desires, it gets. Because this name would have been granted power in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Because in heaven he overcame. What did he overcome? Himself. By stripping himself of all rightful, he overcame. That victory. That was a showcasing of power. To demonstrate humility is to demonstrate power. And in this kingdom, any person who is much more humble than you is greater than you. And on earth, he also overcame because nothing ever weighed him down. And under the earth, he overcame. And in heaven, he went back and he was accepted. Sealed. You see, when you study Hebrews chapter number 1, it tells you that in times past, God spoke to the fathers and prophets of old at sundry times in diverse revelations, each of which carried a revelation of God. But it says, but he has in these days spoken to us by the person of his Son. So when you begin to study the Old Testament, you begin to notice some very interesting things and names by which God revealed himself. This is very important. And even though he revealed himself in many forms, he still hid some dimensions of revelation of him. I'll give you an example. Let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Right? In Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, are you following?
Yes.
You see, if you don't pay attention to teachings of this nature, there's a dimension of power you will not walk in. If you're not sure about some of these things I'm teaching you, you oscillate and vacillate between faith and doubt. So you will need to pay attention. Now, verse 1 of Exodus 3. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said, God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought out the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them that the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they said to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Verse 14, NKJV, let's go. 1, 2, 3, go.
I am who I am. And he said, that shall say to the
right, let's end there. God is introducing himself afresh here. And he says, I am who I am. This kind of introduction was never given by God to any of the forefathers. Verse 15, listen to this. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. I want you to jump to chapter 6, verse 2. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. Listen to this. I appear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I was not known to them. He's already trying to suggest that my names are in levels, and their names that your fathers didn't know. Now, okay, let's do this. I'm going to read. I want to read the Orthodox Jewish Bible, right? Because there's something I want you to understand. Exodus chapter 3. Let's begin from chapter 3. At this point, if you miss it, you can't, because I want you sure you listen. All right. Whew. That's a lot of Hebrew. Okay. Someone say we are following.
We are following.
Oh, that's a lot of Hebrew. Verse 13, right? Now, remember that in the NKJV it is saying, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. I want you to mark that name. Someone say, I am who I am.
I am who I am.
Right. So, let's go to the Orthodox Jewish Bible. So, when you look at the name that was used in that particular verse, that God was using to introduce himself, those are okay. You understand it better when you look at chapter 6, verse 2. And Elohim spoke to Moshe and said to him, I am Hashem. That word Hashem is translated that name, which is what we use to translate the name Yahweh, which is a four-lettered word, which is why you can write this down. Why is going to make sense. Why H W H. So that name means the one who causes to become, because he is the source of all life. So even the name itself is like, it's like a breath to mean he is the source of all life. Now, that name was not revealed to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was only revealed to Moses. And even to Moses, it was not revealed in full. It was revealed as I am who I am. But imagine someone who is just called I am who I am. And what used to happen is, every time they call the name Yahweh, which is what we call it in English, history has it that they would die because of how holy that name is. They would die because that name is so holy. And even the high priest would only use it once during Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, once a year, only in the Holy of Holies. When they are given the sacrifice, once a year would they use that name. Because that name was so holy. So they stopped using that name. And instead they started calling it that name. So when they're having a conversation, they wouldn't say Yahweh. And Orthodox Jews, when you're talking to them, they don't say it. They say that name. And the word that name is the word Hashem. So even when God comes back here and he says, and he said to Moses, I am Hashem. He's talking about the name that he introduced himself with in chapter 3 when he said, I am who I am. But for his sake, because he doesn't want that name to be called consistently, he says, okay, you can call me that name. So the only way they will talk about God is when they say that name. That's why when you see, even the word God, when it comes to the Jews, they don't write God. They write G. Let me show you. How many of you have the Orthodox Jewish Bible? How many have it? Good. I want you to go to the same Philippians where we are reading, Philippians chapter 2. You are there? I want you to look at verse 5. So this is a rendering of the New Testament in Hebrew. So they try to add to mix both English and Hebrew. And they say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Rabbi Melech Hamoshiach Yeshua, who, though existing in the demote of the mode of the being of Elohim, nevertheless, Moshiach did not regard being equal with G hyphen D, because they can't say God. They can't even write it. So these are like Jewish believers who are still dealing with the name. Are you following? Now, I want you to look at verse 9. What does it say? How many have... It's a new version. So you find it Orthodox Jewish Bible. It's a new version. How many have new version? Yeah, so just go down, go to Orthodox. You find... Because I want us to move together. I told you I'll get a bit technical today. Okay, let's go. Verse 9. Therefore also Hashem, meaning that name, or what we are reading as God, because they can't say God, so they say Hashem. To say, so if they want to say God, they will say G hyphen D. And if they want to say God, sometimes they will say Hashem, to mean that name. Now listen to this. Therefore also Hashem exalted Rabbi Melech Hamoshiach and gave him Hashem, meaning he gave him that name. That name which they couldn't call. That name which God introduced himself by. The I am that I am. The Yahweh. So, even I am who I am. Only God used it. It's the same kind of language. So he gave him Hashem. He gave him that name, which is above every other name. The name which when they called, they would die. So they stopped calling it. They started just saying that name. That Hashem is the one that God gave him. And that name is above every other name. And that Hashem found expression in the name of Jesus. And that Hashem is Jesus. Let me show you something. This is why at the mention or at that name, every knee bows in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Why? Because that name does not just cause death when people use it anyhow. That name does not just cause death. That name is revered even before it was revealed. It was there, but now it has found expression in the person of Jesus. So Jesus is the embodiment of that name. We may not say that before Jesus was, the name was Jesus. It was just that name, which is an expression of God. Because when you call that name, you are calling God. But you see, there is a dimension of God and the presence and person and fullness of God, which is only found in speech. And when you get the right code and you call it, you say that name, which is I am who I am, which is Yahweh. All these, although they are mysteries, they depict a being that you don't call. You just say, that name. But then that name has found expression in the person and in the consonants, in the vowels, in the syllables called Jesus. He was given Hashem, that is above every other name. That now this name has become the unmentionable, mentionable name. The only difference is now it's mentionable. Because the results in the past are the same as the results now. That at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven, on earth, and that's why he was saying, you see, and he was speaking to them in dark shadows. He says, when I go, you not ask me anything, but I'll give you the gift of my name. He didn't tell me what it was, tell them what it was, because if he told them, they were going to freak out. One time he tried it. It ended in running away for him. He tried it. Let me show you. Go to John. Him, he knew the name. He knew he was the embodiment of that name. But the way he delivered it slowly to the Orthodox Jews, he had to be careful. Let's go. John chapter 8. Right. You are there? Who has the KJV? John 8, I want you to read. So Jesus has this back and forth with the teachers of the law, right? And this is what he says to them. Let's begin from verse 52. John 8, 52, and I'm going to read from the KJV. It says, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that you are the devil. In other words, you are possessed. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets who are dead. Who makes you yourself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I will be a liar like you. But I know him, and I keep his sayings. Then he now begins to touch them. Here they were fine, they were just thinking maybe he's possessed. Now he's taking it, now he's apitidila. And here is how he pitililad. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. When he saw it, he was glad. The Jews said to him, you're not even 50 years old, and you're saying you have seen Abraham. Now, this is the point he pitililad. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to cast at him, because this is blasphemy. They never even repeated it, because they were afraid of saying what he said. They just said, ulchapwaf. Because he mentioned the unmentionable name. He didn't say before Abraham was, I existed. Because if he said that, he would have been a comic figure. He would have been telling jokes. But then he used a name that God revealed himself with in Exodus 3. When God said to Moses, I am who I am. Then this year, he is a 31-year-old guy who now tells you 52 years old. He says, before Abraham was, I am. In other words, he's trying to suggest, I am. I am that name, the one you can't pronounce. You see, and this is important, because you need to come to an understanding that Jesus is God. This is the doctrine of the Christian faith proper. Jesus is called Emmanuel. There will be a sign, a virgin shall give birth to a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel means in God, man. And the word, which was God, became flesh. So the moment you miss it, and to you, Jesus is not God, then you're like these people who wanted to stone him. You should stone him. So when we are calling on the name of Jesus, we are calling on the fullness of God. You see, when Abraham had the revelation of God, God even told Moses that, when I revealed myself to Abraham, there are some things I never told him. He never knew this dimension of me. He knew me as El Shaddai. That's why I was saying that. Sometimes you can tamper with people's doctrines when you teach this. Because God even said to Moses, said, you, it's special. You, I even told you that I am. As for your father, I never told him anything. He knew me as El Shaddai. And sometimes they can't even put the name, the same name. Your hair. So those are alphabetical letters where we get YHWH, right? They normally exchange them with the word Adonai. They'll just say Lord, because Adonai means Lord, right? And you see, sometimes as we begin to acknowledge who Jesus is, as we begin to acknowledge God in greater revelation, okay, let me put it this way. The people that were sinful, for them to relate with God properly, there's a name they couldn't call him. So they coined a name, they said Hashem, that name. Or they would say Adonai, which is what they normally use, because even Sarah called Abraham. Huh? So in Hebrew it's? So it's like those words of honor. Like when we're saying Shimchindikwa. That can be used for God, that can be used for man. See? We can use that for God, we can also use that for man. But then there's a name you can't use for a man. You can't. Because it's that name. And I feel like sometimes if we want to see the power of God to a certain degree, even in our songs, we should have a revelation of what we want to achieve. Because for some of you, a song which has Jesus in it is not as deep as the one which has Adonai. and they shall die. Meanwhile, when God was speaking, he was saying, no, Abraham only knew me as El Shaddai. But in Zakupasa, Yahweh. But even you, be careful. You can just call me Hashem for now. But even with Yahweh, we've been given a name that is greater. It has found the expression in Jesus. That's the name that we are told is a name that's above every other name. But at the name of Jesus, I'm trying to be careful because I'm saying sometimes when I teach you what I believe, I may temper with a doctrine. Just a bit. Because now imagine all the songs that take you. Yeah, because now you are in the Old Testament as well. Because you are now calling on El Shaddai, Adonai, you are calling him on Hashem, El Elyon. But you've been given a name that is above all of those. No, but when I sang that song, there's power. Yes. You are even better. Do you know the names that used to bring power back in the day when we were singing? You see, there's what is known as God's mercy. And the power of God is all the greedos. By the way, you see, like I'm saying, all those are revelations of God. And every time you sing, I'm not saying throw away the songs. No. And every time we sing those songs, they remind us of a dimension of God. But I just want you to know that the name that has been given a name. Sometimes you people feel spiritual when they are calling Hebrew names.
Yeah.
Even Yeshua sounds more powerful. And it's Jesus in any case, it's fine. But there's something I'm trying to correct you. It has to be Yeshua. Then if it's just, oh, Jesus, then it's like this. But if it's Yeshua. There's just something in Yeshua. It just touches a certain depth. It pulls out a certain depth. If it's just Jesus, no. It's even Yeshua. Because that's where the power is. No, you're just carnal. Now, whether it's Yeshua, it's Jesus, it's Yesu, it's the same. Because Jesus is not English. It's a spirit. And so, one of the greatest gifts we've been given is the name of Jesus. Why? You see, it's like this. When I went to Ziale, when I went through everything I went through, think of it like this. They give me now a practicing certificate. Then I just come to you and I give you. I say, now you are the lawyer. You never went through everything. Imagine we have a law that allows me to say, okay, I've gotten this paper now. You, I'm signing it. I'm sharing it with you. We are co-heirs. And I give you. Forget my experience from first year to university. To Ziale. Forget it. You don't have to go through it. All I have to do is just sign and I give you. Now imagine what Jesus did. First, he had to be born. Then he had to grow a normal human being. Then he had to go to hell, come back. After he came back from hell, he still had to go to heaven and explain himself. Then he had to be accepted, then given a name. Then he now came back and gave you that name. You've never been God. You've never been seen by angels. You've never had these experiences. You've never defeated spirit. All you have is his glory. Because see, that's why he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. He is a conqueror. Us, we are more than. Because we never went through what he went through. Now, it's not even blasphemy. He said worse. He said, those who believe in me, the works I do, they shall do, but they'll do greater. Meaning that some things Jesus did not do, he's expecting us to do them. You will do greater.
Amen.
Look, you are not convinced, you see. I said you will do greater.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise
so in prayer, one of the greatest gifts he's given us is the weapon of his name. Because it is that name, the I am who I am, the Hashem, the that name, which when priests would call, they would die. Which when they tried to pronounce it, they would be struck down. It was too holy. In fact, they were even told, do not use the name of the Lord in vain. It's not just in cursing. If even just saying God, then they couldn't. They have to say G-I-F-N-D, that name. Yet for, you see, that's why they can't accept Jesus. Because they saw what happened to their chief priest, to the high priest, when they caught that name. So when Jesus now comes, and this is a 30-year-old man, who now says, I am that name. It's difficult for them. For us, at least, we never saw papas die by calling that name. For them, they saw it. Yet this guy, who's a 31-year-old, comes and says, I am that name. It's hard. The only difference is that at least they saw he never died, so they would have questioned, but how come he's not dying? He told them I existed before Abraham. He says, before Abraham came to being near, I was there. In fact, I will rejoice to see my day, Abraham. The day I would be born, me. I'm telling you that Abraham rejoiced when he saw the day I would be born. So are you telling us that you were there when Abraham was there, and you saw that he saw your day? And he rejoiced. He said, no, that's even little. In fact, before Abraham was me, I am. Ah! You've crossed the line. He says, no, I haven't crossed the line. I am the line. The line can't cross itself. So why are you offended on my own behalf? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That name does not just kill people, it kills diseases.
Amen.
That name, I have seen it change the hearts of the most stubborn people to become the softest. That name, I have seen it change businesses. That name, I've seen it bring healing. That name, I've seen it go into a computer system. Change someone's CA. That name, I've seen it go into an interview before you go there.
Amen.
Before you go in, it goes before you. And it changes the hearts of people, the interviewers. That name, I have seen demons come at me with everything. And they are looking at me as a small boy. But when I call on that name, the entirety of the government of heaven manifests. It's like killing a mosquito with a bazooka. That name, I've seen it give me confidence. Sometimes I'm about to preach, or sometimes I'm about to minister, or sometimes I'm about to talk to someone to convince them, and they're just higher than me in the rankings of the world, and I just say, oh Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You see, that name, it's not only believers who respond to it. Things respond to it. He says, all authorities in heaven and on earth and under the earth has been given to me, therefore go. And we go in the authority of the name of Jesus. He says, the following signs shall follow they that believe. In that name, in my name, they shall cast out demons. Even demons know that name. You see, the reasons why nobody ever cast out demons before Jesus is because they couldn't use that name. Because it was not revealed to them. The only name they had was El Shaddai. And it was not given to El Shaddai to cast out demons. El Shaddai means the strong one. The one who revealed himself to Abraham. And they also knew him as Jireh, the one who provided. That name couldn't cast out demons. It was so that you could experience the provision of the one that is in heaven. But then there was that name they couldn't use. And it was not embodied in a person or in anyone. But then this man came. Before that, Ezekiel could not cast out demons. Before that, Abraham couldn't. Because there was a name which even demons were afraid of mentioning. Have you ever watched Lion King? When they said Mufasa, there's a name they didn't want. It was that name. Or if you ever made the mistake of watching Harry Potter, there was he who can't be named. So they couldn't, it was a mystery in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. But that name still existed. And those who had an opportunity to hear it, they died. Because it was a mystery. But it was made manifest to you in these last days. That Jesus comes on the scene, and when the demons saw him, they knew it was not just that person, he was a name himself. And he said, we know you. You are the Son of God. Have you come? He said, see, when that name was manifesting, it said, shut up. It was able to shut down demons. Amen. And he forbade them to ever speak about him because he knew they knew him. And you don't have to say in the name of Jesus. There's what we call baptism in the name. Where whatever you do in word or in deed, you are doing it like Jesus. Imagine Jesus was the name. So did you have to start saying, in my name, in the name, my name? No. You would sound like a poet. We are already in his name. We've been baptized in his name. So when you are writing your exam, the name is writing. Because you are in that name. When you are dating, the name is dating. When you are engaged, the name is engaged. Listen, even when you are single, the name is single. Even when you are invited. That's why one of the definitions, it's in the, one of the definitions is I am who I am. You see, when you see when you say El Shaddai, it speaks to a thing. When you say Jireh, it speaks to a thing. When you say Adonai, it speaks to a thing. But when you say I am who I am, that's a blank check. When you say Jesus, even the things you didn't know about begin to respond. Because that is the ultimate weapon we've been given. He says, at the mention or at the name of Jesus, every knee, it doesn't say of beings, it says of things. That's a universal set. People answer to that name. Powers answer to that name. Sicknesses answer to that name. Inanimate things answer to that name. I have seen that name change things. One day they called me and they said, there's this woman who's been rushed to the hospital. Oh, can I come pray for her? They said, no, you can't. Why? Because we are in another city. I said, okay, put her on loud. And I said, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That name, I know what he's able to do. I said, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit of death, come out of her. And the woman came back to life. not very far from here. I was told there was someone who was sick at Coptic Hospital. I was in slippers and in a jean and in a lavender t-shirt. And I went there. When I entered the room last week, and the woman looked at me, "Oh, you can come in." I wasn't looking pastor enough. And she was wriggling on the bed in pain. She was in pain, and the doctors didn't know what to do. They wanted to take her for an operation. And the family was standing there. Guess what I said? I said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." I saw Etiwa. I said, "I see you. I know you. And I know what you want. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." You see, when I call that name, I know everything. Carasilefronto. Everything responds to it. I'm not exaggerating, guys. There were people there. Doctors were about to come in. I said to the woman, "Make sure no one comes in." I said, "In the name of Jesus, come out of her." Oh, my goodness. She began to violently shake under the power of God. And the demon said, "She must die," he said. Momentum Zafa. And she got healed instantly. Stood up, began to walk. That name. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
That name. And then when I was done, you see, the woman now says, "Sorry, are you the one who said you will come pray for her? Are you the pastor?" I said, "Yes." In slippers, she was not sure I was the one. I looked like just some guy was passing by. You see, that name can be used by some of the lowliest of people. And when they use it, the angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. You see, you go back home and there are headaches. Someone has got rash because it's hot. There's all kinds of nonsense happening. You go in and you say, "In the name of Jesus, I command those sicknesses to dry. I command this dryness of finances to end." Even finances respond to the name of Jesus. The Bible says all things in heaven and on earth, not just people, things. And you see, like she said, even when she got a bad report, she didn't get discouraged. She exercised it again and again, because in Christ Jesus, there are different dimensions of power. There's power to provide. There's power to deliver. There's power to become famous. There's power to make it. Because it's that name, which is the fullness of God. The Bible says it pleased God that the fullness of God should dwell in bodily form in Jesus. If you want Jairus, in Jesus. If you want Mrs. in Jesus. And let me repeat this. I'm not saying don't use any of those. So that next time you start saying, "Jaire, you are enough," you say, "Oh, pastor said no." No, no, no. When you sing that song, you are trying to remind yourself of the provision of God. It's okay. But I'm just telling you that the fullness of God is in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We are going to do an exercise now. We're going to stand, and I want you to use that name. I don't know what you need to change this week, but you are going to use that name. The name which they fear and respect in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. It says, "In my name, mystery shall happen. They will cast out demons."